Okay, I'm awake now. Somebody had the volume turned all the way up on the music. That was intense for a couple of seconds there. I'm not sure where that was going. Anyway, Fish and Frank in the chair here, and we got Robert in the chair neck across from me. And time for a little fishing report. Hello, Robert. Shut up, you guitar-playing fool, you. Hey, Robert. It's Robert in the house. Everybody's so happy. Yes, and there's kind of a mild applause.
There you go. That was good. Very subdued.
Very subdued. I feel subdued.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about that. That volume thing kind of popped in pretty good.
I'm definitely a lot more awake than I was a couple of minutes ago. A
couple more deaf, a little more
scar tissue in my ear. Yeah, I'm just glad. I would have had to restart the show if I had let that broadcast. So anyway, where are we going to start today?
Let's start up on the river.
Okay.
Just because it's a quicker, easier one.
Yeah. All right. Let's move the boat. We'll go up onto the river. All right. Now that we're heading up the river.
Wow.
Hey, come on. What do you think? I ain't got sound effects?
That's pretty impressive. That was quick on your fingers.
Yeah, well, it happened to be the one sitting right in front of me.
That was good. Okay. That was impressive.
All right. Shut up, boat. All right. Kill the motor. All right. We're drifting in.
All right. Let's see. The tarpon have pretty much about left the river. I mean, there's still a few stragglers up there from 761 through Liverpool and all that, but they're really, really breaking apart good. The snook, kind of the same scenario like you were talking about with the little bit of rain we've been having. It's starting to move some of those fish around, which we need.
Yeah, we need the rain. We need rain at least every week or two. Just enough to put a layer of fresh water on here, get them snook to go to the passes where they belong, get out by the barrier islands, spawn out there so the eggs float good. And we've been lucky. Last few years, it's worked out. So there are still some big snook.
Oh, yeah.
If you take humans, fish, animals, you know, there's always those ducks that sit up in, Chicago or Detroit or whatever, them stupid ducks that just don't leave.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with snook. There are going to be some snook back up
all
here.
All fish.
And all animals. There are some that just, I don't want to go.
Yeah.
You know, okay, you guys go out there and let me know what it was like when you get back. Because I ain't doing
very
it.
Very much homebodies.
Yeah. Or just like me, just really don't want to put the effort into it. You know, okay, you guys walk over there, let me know what it looked like. If it was really cool, I'll go with you next year.
Right.
Did you have a really good time? No, I ain't swimming that far. Okay.
Right, exactly.
You're too old.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. You also got a few redfish around, some
whiting.
Well,
it could be, because not all big snook are female.
Right.
Not all of them. It is not mandatory snook changes. I call it, you know, the San Francisco effect. You know, a certain percentage do change from, you know, male to female, but there's a bunch that don't. It might be that the males don't run out that far. They might not be all, you know, because we do keep so many big snook here, even when they should be out by the Gulf.
Right.
And I wonder if it's not the males that are hanging out up here.
It's possible. We'll have to ask David.
That's a weird thought. I never had that thought before. My brain hurts. I don't want to have these thinking things. It's painful.
No, it's not.
So I don't want to have to think. Oh, my screen just changed. Now I feel more calm. It's waterfalls.
Nice.
Okay. Shh. All right. But anyway, that could be one thing that why there's still some big snook. They might not be female. They might not be going out there to spawn.
Right.
So.
That's a very good possibility. I like it.
It could
just scratch your head a little.
Yep. Could be old guys like me. They ain't walking that far.
No.
Okay. So, anyway.
Move down to 75.
I'm hearing some pretty good things on black drum.
Yeah.
A couple of Goliath grouper.
And assorted sizes on the black drum, too. I mean, little nice eating size to just, wow, that was a really big fish, and let him go and have a good day.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of the little 2-pounders all the way up to 40-pounders.
So, not much left for whiting, but Goliath.
Yeah, there's been a straggler here and there, the whiting, but not a lot. Same way with the trout, an oddball incidental one here and there. So, you know, you're better off coming down closer to the 41 bridge area.
A lot of Spanish down by the bridge on and off.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they don't hang out anywhere for long, but there's been some schools of glass minnows, even a little white bait down there, some thread fins and stuff. And when that's going on, those brings up the Spanish.
Yeah.
And better on the Punta Gorda side than the Port Charlotte side for the Spanish.
Right. And the cool part about that, too, is when those Spanish show up, a lot of times there's a lot more little sharks that follow them, the little, you know, moderate-sized cobia.
I haven't heard any of the bridge trolls catching sharks lately. A few cobia, but not even much for cobia right now.
Yeah. Then there's been a few Goliath grouper there, a lot of assorted sized tarpon at night, and some nice snook at night. I was trying to
remember my childhood nursery rhymes. What did the troll, wasn't it Billy Goat's Gruff or something with the troll on it? I don't remember. I remember there's something about the billy goats and the troll and all that, and, you know, speaking of bridge trolls, and I was trying to think of what that was. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
But anyway, sorry to interrupt you. Okay. I'm going to try not to step on you when you talk.
It's all good.
But won't happen.
Yeah. Sounds good in theory, right?
Yeah. I'm not going to get audited. I'm not going to get notices from the state for different stuff. None of that stuff ever happens.
No.
And I'm not going to step on somebody when they talk.
Right, okay. Exactly.
Move your head over a little bit. Okay.
Anyway. Oh, crap.
So, anyway, what were we talking about? 41 Bridge.
All right. The night fishing has been really good. I mean, there's been some really nice snook there, quite a few tarpon. This new moon's starting to get things really fired up. You know, as this moon starts to get smaller and smaller, it seems to really get things excited.
That was an excited fish.
If you go down to the bridge, if you're willing to go out at night, especially if you're in a boat, you can really target those tarpon that have been there. Some guys have been getting upwards of, you know, 7-8
tarpon
fish a
jumping.
Night. I like it. I didn't hear the gills flap, though.
Yeah, I know.
That was more like a weird mullet.
Yeah, it was like a mullet.
It was a cormorant.
You ever notice a mullet? The best jumpers in the world, you would think they've been probably jumping for, what, a million years? They'd learn how to land by now.
Yeah. Nope. That good belly flop.
So, anyway, tarpon at night up there. What's going on with them? Any special lures, anything?
Honestly, traditionally, the DOA bait buster, the DOA swimming mullet, and my favorite, you know, is the Storm swim baits work really, really good. You can get away with throwing some of the rattle traps, a few of the bombers, mix it up a little bit, you know.
The 16AX SICH, still number one down there. Sold one to a guy, made sure he pinched the barbs down because he hadn't thrown lures for tarpon before, and he hooks them on that big bomber, the 16SICH.
Right. And I like taking that same bomber personally and modifying your version of removing the treble hooks altogether, and I like using the assist hooks that they use for the speed jigs or the big lead jigs that they use for grouper fishing. I like to add that hook instead of the treble hook, so you got both options of flattening the barbs or just putting that assist hook on the back of that lure.
Well, you know, VMC really well. Has those new hooks for the back of the lure.
Yeah.
I don't know if you talked about that, but they've got the new
single hook adaptions.
Well, the only difference between that is you don't have to add the extra split ring. When you're putting that new hook on, Owner and VMC both have them. It hangs correctly.
Correct.
The eye's turned. So, you know, it's going to work just like the standard hook, except that the eye's already twisted so that the hook hangs in the correct position.
Right.
So, basically, same thing. So, no, I'm on board with that.
That's a cool idea. I just have to try it a few more times to see how well it works, because after your modification, that worked pretty good. And then
the one you did with the little string thing with the jig.
Yeah, the assist hook, the speed jigs.
Yeah, the speed jig hooks. That works great. Yeah. But I think you'll find that new modification hook from VMC.
Oh, I have no doubt it'll probably work. I like the other one a little better personally, just because I played with it long enough to figure it out, I guess.
Well, I like having the hook just kind of dangling back there off that string. It really works good. So.
Right.
But anyway, coming around Port Charlotte Canals.
Port Charlotte Canals are starting to slow up just a little bit. The bridges, from the bridges along Edgewater out to the mouths of the harbor, seem to be where your best action is, with the exception of a few guys that are slow trolling through the canals. Some of those guys are picking up some really, really big snook. Speaking of that, by the way, I watched a guy poach a big snook behind the house the other day.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Popped a big one, huh?
Yep. Well, poached it.
Oh, poached it.
Oh, yeah.
Oversized snook, and he took it home.
Walked down there and tried to say, hey, bring it away. Let me take a picture of it, you know. And they got all quiet, and then they just trolling motored under the bridge and disappeared. And the neighbor came out. Hey, that was a really big fish that they put in their live well. What was it? I said it was a snook.
Illegal snook, yeah.
Yeah, jerks.
I'm going to try and get together with the Charlotte County Commissioners. Now, it's probably a few effort and futility because they don't have the brains. I know a lot of them guys before they get elected. Some of the brightest, nicest people ever, and for some reason when they get elected, I'm not sure how the American government was able to figure it out when no one else ever has, but they've got a thing next to the door that you walk through, and it's a magnetic type instrument, and it sucks the human brain down about 2.5 feet when you walk in the door.
Right.
I'm not sure how they were able to accomplish that, but it seems to be installed on every government agency I've dealt with very few exceptions.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know how they were managed to be able to pull the human brain down the spinal column to the opposite end, but they did.
Yep.
So we'll see. I want to get the ordinances, local ordinances, so because we have some great law enforcement officers here. I mean, truly not any BS. I mean, a lot of our traffic cops, we get a couple of weirdos, but most of them, 90-some percent of them, are some of the greatest guys I've Absolutely. Ever had the pleasure to meet. And I'd like them enforcing local ordinances on the fish. This would put a stop to most of it, because when Charlotte County Sheriff's Office wants something to stop, it will stop.
Well, the cool part is the new sheriff has been really, really proactive about that.
Yeah.
You know, he's actually been trying to work with the FWC and help out with a lot of that stuff and trying to tell the guys to go out there and be a little bit more proactive with some of those regulations and any of the illegal activities that are going on through the fishing community.
Yeah, but I'm just saying really I want to get more involved once I get over my personal trials and tribulations here, my business trials and tribulations.
Right.
And we'll work on that.
Then there's been some big jacks cruising through the canals. Some pretty nice mangrove snapper. Oddball black drum of assorted sizes. Lots of juvenile tarpon to sub-adult tarpon. Especially over in Spring Lake. Everything all right there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay.
I'm putting in the name of the show and getting that stuff ready while you're doing this.
You just had a weird pause there for a second there. I wasn't sure.
No, I'm putting in today's date and, you know, labeling the show number and area fishing report and all that kind of stuff.
Good.
Show 273, by the way.
Nice. If you're feeling a little bit patient, if you go right outside of Grassy Point there, out in front of basically between the beach complex and Bayshore, anywhere along out there in like that 4 to 6 feet of water roughly, there has been some fairly nice cobia over there. A few assortments of sharks, most of them are on the smaller side. It's not gangbusters by any stretch, but there has been some pretty good fish over there.
It's not.
Nope.
No, it's actually, for as far as a pure goes though, if you want to catch your big fish, Bayshore right. is your pure if you can get a spot on it. And mornings, evenings are the best. A little bit being caught during the day, but mornings, evenings are always better. And getting your spot on Bayshore Pier can be a little tricky sometimes, but it's not as bad as, say, Sharkies.
Nah, yeah.
So no. They're trying to get it
you
there.
You don't have the mafia yet. There, no. No, it's all good. And then as you work your way around, heading over towards the Myakka Cutoff. Myakka Cutoff has been a little quiet this week. I've been hearing of some pretty big snook up in there still with a few oddball redfish. Mostly on the northern end, I guess, or towards Tippecanoe side. That seems to be a little bit more consistent. Around Hog Island on the Myakka side, there's been a few oddball pompano out on the flats. A lot of little sharks of assorted sizes in that, you know, 4 feet of water range. A couple guys have seen a couple sawfish cruising around over there.
A lot of people interested in sawfish.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. At the meeting last night, we do those meetings at Luigi's, and, you know, a lot of the guys were talking about sawfish last night, and kind of went into a whole big thing about sawfish for a minute. But, yeah, it's really cool being able to go out here and catch a dinosaur.
Yeah. Well, you know what's cool is somebody called me last week to they weren't sure what they had caught, but they were out at Boca and caught a guitar fish.
Really?
They thought it might have been a sawfish at first, but then they were describing it, and I'm like, does it look like it was cut off or broke off? No, it just comes to a nice soft point like a stingray, and I'm like, it's a guitar fish.
Yeah, guitar fish and stargazers are two I'd like to see come back. We have the flounder back. We have the sawfish back. If the stargazers and...
Guitar fish.
Those are two we'd like to see come back. It's been a while.
Yeah.
I really like the stargazers because every once in a while somebody gets dumb enough to grab them by the head. Mm. They're one of the few fish that actually produce a real electric shock if you grab them.
Yeah.
And it's not going to kill you or anything. Yeah. But it is funny when you see somebody light up a stargazer just to watch them jump around. It's like opening the box on the counter. You know, they'll yelp and, you know, it's funny.
Yeah. As you go up into the Myakka River around Eljo Bean, nighttime fishing has been really, really good for the snook. Some pretty darn big mangrove snapper being caught there. Not numbers, but better quality. There's been some 14, 16 inches being caught there. Been some tarpon there at night. During the daytime, still some snapper. A few black drum. Oddball redfish, but very few. The trout have virtually moved out of there. The sheep's head have really started to move out of there. There's a few resident fish that are still hanging around or late swimmers. So it's been kind of a little on the sporadic side there during the daytime. As you move down towards Cattle Dock and working your way down the west wall, the snook are moving all over the place down there. I mean, they're in that pre-spawn pattern of moving in little groups of fish. So just because you don't find fish at that particular bush or creek that you're used to finding them doesn't mean there won't be fish there in an hour from now of assorted sizes. Sometimes it's a group of small fish. Sometimes it's a group of big fish. Never really know, but they are all over the place along that side. And then the handful of guys that have been catching redfish over there, most of them are doing crabs, primarily a little bit on that higher water, hugging the bushes as close as possible.
Come here, Bush. I love you, Bush. Come hug me. Hold me. Call me George.
Okay. It hasn't been.
Sorry. I have no idea what's wrong with me. I have no idea. Okay.
As you're out on top of the bar there, there's been some nice cobia.
Top of the world, bar! Top of the world!
You're feeling froggy today. I like it.
Yeah, I don't know. For some reason or another, all these weird things are popping into my head.
Everyone has those. You just happen to announce them verbally.
Yeah, most people are smart enough to shut up and not say those things out loud.
Am I thinking that right now? Yes, you are. Don't say it out loud. You'll be okay. Because we're all
top
nuts.
Top of the world, Ma! Top of the world! Okay.
Cobia, few oddball tarpon. Most of the tarpon that are cruising on that bar are like in singles and deuces. You're not going to find great big numbers, but they're pretty happy fish. You just got to work real super slow and stealthy.
Once this audit's over, you and I got to go and out and... I want to troll a variety of trolling lures. I want to take out a bunch of different lures and see which ones are the hot trolling lures for tarpon.
There you go.
You know, because I love cruising that. I'm a big fan of trolling anyway, and I really want to go along that bar on that west side and see which lure will pop them. And, I mean, it could be a rattle trap, could be a bomber, could be a DOA, could be anything. But I sell so many darn lures that I know should work and have worked over the past.
Right. But it's weird because every year it's that one particular lure, that one particular color that works better. And what's the reasoning behind it that it changes so often?
That's one thing I got to talk to this guy about who's doing the audit and say, okay, what do I do with all this stuff that I use? You know, do I write it as, you know, garbage now? Because, I mean, it's used.
Right.
I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah.
I'm going to find out all this stuff. God, I'm not smart enough to be doing what I'm doing. I have no idea.
That's funny.
Anyway, I'm going to take a whole plethora. I'm going to take a couple dozen different lures out and troll up with a certain set, come back with another set, and see what happens with them. Because there's got to be something mega hot. Watch, it'll be the Twitch.
Right.
You know, I mean, everything else eats a darn thing. So, yeah, I can just see a 140-pounder on the Twitch. It's going to last about 30 seconds.
If you're lucky.
Yeah.
Little small sharks, few assortment of bigger sharks down there. There's a lot of cow nose rays moving around down there. Be careful of those guys. You know, there's plenty of them. But you know, they really don't eat anything, but they're cool just to watch.
The cownose?
Yeah. Oh. They're schooling right now for their spawn, so
and when you hook up a cownose, whether you accidentally snag one, because sometimes they'll come underneath the line and just the line coming across and they'll get snagged, whether you snag it or it actually bites the hook, because I haven't had them eat my bait a few times. I mean, that is a cross between a bonefish, a shark, and, I mean, I don't know what else, a jack. They're amazing fight. I mean, literally, you know, you hook it up and your line takes off screaming. And then it starts to do that big circle, and so you're thinking big jack. And then all of a sudden it starts coming down, and then it goes down to hug the bottom a little bit, and you're thinking, well, maybe it's... Well, now you don't have any idea what it is.
Right.
And so, you know, the badge of honor thing is really tough when it's a cow nose and you hook them up. Right. That ray, with a regular ray, they go down and hug the bottom and kind of work themselves in and just suck right into the bottom, and they want to just hang out there. But a cow nose loves to run. He will go to the bottom, but he really wants to. I mean, he's heading to Texas.
Yeah, they're not really designed for sucking right to the bottom, so they just stay right along the bottom at times and will slow down a little bit. But
and that's what messes you up when you're trying to guess.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, the fun thing is, you know, betting who knows which fish it is by the way the rod's moving and the way that's the line's
fun.
Pulling.
That's fun sometimes.
To me, it's always neat when you see the fish, but guessing what it is before you get it. You know, when I was doing charters all the time, 90-some percent of the time I could watch the rod and tell what kind of fish the person had. But cow nose, that's one that always throws me.
Yeah.
Because it has so many different things it does. It's not like a redfish where it's going to boil, pull, do this, do that. You kind of know what a redfish is going to do, or maybe a snook. But a cow nose has three or four different patterns of fighting.
Right.
And they're just, it's freaky good. I mean, it's not something, I think if more people hooked up to them, either on purpose or accidental, I think they would really get into that. Because what a battle. Yeah. What a fight.
Yep, absolutely. As long as they don't wreck them in the process of doing it.
No.
You know, I mean, a lot of people this time of year, and I'm going to go on a little soapbox here for a minute, but a lot of people use them for bait, and not saying they're not great bait for shark or jewfish, but the biggest problem is that particular ray, even though you think they're abundant right now, they only give birth to one baby, period.
Really?
Yep.
No kidding. When did you find that out?
A year ago or so. I was talking to Greg Palakis, and like 15 years of him studying him, he's only seen two with twins.
Really?
Yep. Versus the Atlantic and the Southern Stingray is anywhere from 4 to 15 pups.
That's amazing, because the cow nose are so plentiful, and to give one birth and one at a time is... That's amazing.
But see, that says a couple things about them. One, that they don't have a great deal of predators. Very low mortality rate, but that also says that they take a lot longer to build back their population, you know, and also they probably have a longer gestation period, because most of those animals are anywhere from 4 to 6 months gestation period. Those might be 6 to 9 months. I'm just pulling a number out. I'm not sure.
But they
are something that, even though they think that they're abundant and great shark bait, blah, 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 take what you need.
Not what you want.
Exactly.
It's about no
waste.
Don't
waste it.
We get a woman in here, don't kill the sharks. I'm like, give me a break. If you're going to eat it, kill it.
Right.
And don't buy krill oil. I hate people who buy krill oil.
Right.
Fish oil. I hate that. Get the oils and the omega-3s and stuff. Catch it, kill it, clean it, cook it yourself. Don't waste anything.
Right.
That's the key to life.
Absolutely.
If your hands are dirty, your insides are going to be clean.
Right.
If, you know, I just buy my stuff. I don't. Well, that is the dirtiest way to have bad insides. You know, you need to have your own hands dirty. You know, deal with a little blood on your own and have your insides, your soul, kind of clean.
Absolutely.
You know, don't waste what we have. We have a lot of gifts in the world.
And absolutely.
So that's what my major philosophy is.
Absolutely.
So,
it's a good one.
Anyway, back
down
in
towards
the world,
Cape Hayes.
We took us this long to get to Cape Hayes. We
yes,
have to
did.
Break this into a couple of sections. We're about 24 minutes in already.
Yeah, we got to speed it up.
Yeah. Okay, so we're not going to Cape Haitian. We're going to come on, better. $1, $2, $3, $4. Come on, better, 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 better.
Cape Hayes has got a lot of Spanish mackerel, some trout, a few mangrove snapper, a lot of little sharks, occasional bigger shark. But as you work your way into Turtle Bay right there at the entrance, there has been a few redfish there right around those PVC pipes.
Right.
There's been a fair number of redfish there and a lot of miscellaneous snook mixed in with them.
It still kills me that somebody actually got paid to put those sticks in the water so the birds can land on them. The birds would poop and it would fertilize the grass.
Right.
That's got to be the dumbest thing I've ever heard of in my life.
It's how experiments are done sometimes.
I know, but to get paid for putting sticks in the water so the birds can sit on them and poop.
Exactly.
Okay. Why don't I have a job like that?
Not that lucky.
Yeah.
Going up inside Turtle Bay. Turtle Bay's been a little hit or miss. I mean, there's a ton of snook up inside there. Really, really good snook. The redfish have been primarily along the bushes there again, especially in that back northern corner. If you drift across the flats, you'll pick up some assortment of little sharks, a few trout, oddball bigger redfish here and there. And along the backside, as you're working your way from the shack all the way over to the Eagle's Nest, there's been some real big snook, some tarpon, an assortment of different sharks. I mean, there's been some pretty big sharks back in that corner there. Mostly lemons and an oddball bull. And then same thing kind of going over into Bull Bay. Mixed variety of snook, few oddball redfish. At the entrance on the harbor side there at Bull Bay, there's been some real good snapper around both those shacks and around that little deep trough there on the...
Mr. Snapper.
What's that, the Ke'o Palau
side? Yeah, the Ke'o Palau side.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That little trough right there has been holding some nice mangrove snapper, an oddball sheep's head. And out front between Turtle Bay and Bull Bay along that whole bar has been some pompano, some flounder, a lot of snook moving throughout there, and a few oversized redfish here and there. Devilfish has started to light back up again. The bait's been a little bit more consistent, so it's bringing in the pinfish and the white bait and some small threadies. But that's also starting to bring in some of the Spanish mackerel, some of the small sharks, some of the snook, kind of a mixed gamut of stuff.
Right.
And now that we're getting into that time of year, it might stay that way more consistent for the next couple months. The rains usually start to change that a little bit and screws it up for a couple weeks until it stabilizes. Then it goes back to hot again. But you're right at that beginning stage where it should stay a little more steady. Going from Ke'o Palau, working your way up to the clam fields and sandfly and the tailing flats up in there.
Yeah, a lot of white bait up through there.
A lot of Spanish mackerel on those flats in that 4 feet of water. So if you're out there drifting around looking for some of the trout and you're getting wrecked, it's more than likely Spanish mackerel, and that's where that new tieable wire.
Oh, the American Fishing Wire stuff.
Yeah.
Wasn't that cool last night?
That stuff was a trip.
I mean, it's $11, less than what you're going to spend for your average fluorocarbon. But tie line to line knot, I was sitting last night and I was building.
Just a clench knot.
It was what?
Just a clench knot.
Yeah, just a clench knot works on it. I mean, you can tie any knot. And we were tying up mackerel rigs. We're doing a talk last night and tonight at Luigi's about Spanish mackerel. And I build these old-fashioned tandem Spanish mackerel rigs that my dad taught me to build. And we built it out of 40-pound mono. And I was showing everybody how to do it as I proceeded along. And I said, you know what? I wonder if we could do this. And I tied it out of the tieable steel leader.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
It's no harder to tie than on a 40-pound fluorocarbon. It's almost the exact same thing. If you can tie that knot in 40-pound fluorocarbon, you can tie it in a 40-pound steel.
Absolutely.
I mean, the line knots work great. I'm just really impressed. American Fishing Wire, I'm really happy for Sean. He's got a real winner here.
Absolutely.
This stuff is going to go ballistic.
Well, and the cool part
I don't understand why he wants to bring this out, because before he had to sell you the wire, the crimps, the crimping tool, the whole bit. He's going to cut the sales. I mean, yeah. I'm not going back. I mean, on the heavier wire, I have to.
Well, and that's where they're going to key in on stuff like that. The heavier wire, they'll have to stick with that.
You know.
But the cool part is with that wire is like you said, it's going to be one thing that you can carry in your tackle box. Like right now, the water's really, really clear, so I'm a little apprehensive to say that it's going to be great for snook right now. But once that water gets stained with our rainy season, it isn't going to make a lick of difference to use that little bit of steel on there.
No.
You know, and you'll
once the water's murky,
and you won't have to retie. You won't have to worry about retying after every fish or every other fish. And we got that
25-pound test steel that's real light, real flexible. That's going to be great.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's great on the Spanish mackerel. I wouldn't go to the 40. I would just go to the 25. Yeah. You know.
The only thing I'll be curious to know is how it, if it affects, like, say, a 17 MR or something like that. I'd be kind of curious.
You'd have to use the 25 on it.
Yeah.
It's pretty flexible. I mean, no, it is. I don't know, but
I'd like to play with it and see it.
It's going to be.
I don't think it'll affect a spoon or a jig or any of that stuff.
But
some of your little lighter finesse twitch baits and stuff like that, I don't know if it would change it a little bit or not.
I think it would change it some. I'm not going to call it real good for the mirror lure of the 17s because it's such a small bait, such a small lure that I don't. Even the 25 fluorocarbon messes it up somewhat.
Right.
So, and exactly. It's going to add a little bit of weight to it.
Right.
You know, people use steel line and stuff, you know, to not put sinkers on their things.
Right.
So it's going to drop in the water a bit.
Yeah.
Not a lot,
but curious.
Yeah. It's going to be neat to experiment. I think I'm going to have a lot of fun playing with that stuff. You and I are going to have to go out. You know, if this stuff works and when that water gets murky, what is it going to be for tarpon?
Exactly.
You can do it. If you can put this 40-pound on and the tarpon will hit it when that water's murky, no more lost fish.
Right.
No more, you know, hooks left in the tarpon. You're going to land these fish and you're going to bring them up, get the hook out, and release the fish properly.
Yeah.
This could be a major innovation in tarpon fishing. Now, not for the pass or out on the beach because you need that clear fluorocarbon out there. But right. For up here in the harbor when they're up here so thick and nighttime around the bridges, couple of feet of that, you're not losing that tarpon.
No, it might be pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. So let's go over to Placida.
Yeah.
Placida during the daytime, Spanish mackerel, some mangrove snapper. Let's see what else has been going on there. Mainly that, really, and a lot of little sharks. But at nighttime, it's been really good. There's been some really nice snook, some very big mangrove snapper. A few incidental tarpon, a few incidental bigger sharks, kind of a mixed variety. And then going up into the intercoastal, lots of Spanish mackerel if you're slow trolling through there with a few oddball trout on the outside edges of the channel. Around all the docks up there, they've got an assortment of snook. And there again, it's that kind of same pattern as the west wall or the east wall with the snook. They're moving a lot, so this dock might be inundated with snook and the next dock might not have anything. And then 2 hours later, it's loaded with a whole different group of fish again. So, you know, just be patient, work it real thoroughly and don't disregard it when you're coming back by because it could have a whole bunch more fish on it. Same way as you get out closer to Stump Pass. Stump Pass is starting to get a little snook moving through. Some good redfish. The redfish have been better in the early mornings or right around sunset during the daytime, a little more sporadic. Some very big whiting, few flounder, few sheep's head. Been some really good jacks coming through there along with some nice Spanish mackerel. There again, they always follow the bait and stuff, so they move in and out fairly quickly, but they have been there off and on throughout the entire daytime. And then if you want to walk along the beach, basically anywhere from, heck, I'm going to even venture to go from Sarasota all the way down.
Were you just talking about Lemon Bay? I was just looking up the temperatures. We're actually 2 months ahead on water temperature. St. Pete is at 83.5. It's supposed to be 74 is the average Gulf temp for this month.
Really?
We're 9 degrees above. Now, it's not supposed to be this temperature for another... this is April, May. It's not supposed to hit this till June. So,
wow.
Yeah, we're 9 degrees above average right now.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy right now. And that's true from Naples, St. Pete, Key West. I didn't find anything on the panhandle. I don't know where to look for that. I'd have to go up and look. But anyway, yeah, that's some pretty intense water. But in Lemon Bay, you've got a lot of snook and a lot of redfish there right now.
Right.
Most of the redfish are smaller, but if you can find a spot between a couple islands where the water's moving good and not so much the cut itself, but along the mangroves on either side of where that fast moving water is, you will find some nice redfish there.
Perfect.
So anyway, I just wanted to throw that in because Lemon Bay, but I was looking up the water temperatures while you were talking about that.
That's cool.
We're just getting ready to go along the beaches, and then we're going to call this part one, and we're going to come back tomorrow morning and do part two because it's 5:30 and we've got to be at Luigi's here in an hour, and I've still got to upload the show and get everything ready. But walking the beaches right now is a tremendous amount of fun.
Yeah.
And more snook by the day. Whether you're going from Englewood down to Sanibel, Estero Bay, snook are moving out onto the beaches steady. Yeah, the water's warm. We've got a little bit of rain happening, so they're all being pushed out. Every day the snook populations are getting out. Walk out.
Closer you get to the passes, the more concentrated the snook are.
And just kind of stand on the beach and cast parallel down the shore. You're not casting out for these fish. These fish are shoreline huggers. They're structure-oriented fish. They're not. If I'm in a boat going along Gasparilla Island or up by Stump Pass or whatever, I'm literally throwing my lure up onto the sand and dragging it out into the water.
Right.
Each time. I'm not trying to cast close to shore. I'm literally casting onto the sandy beach and dragging my lure into the water from there because the fish can lay that close.
Yeah.
And so cast parallel to the shore. Make a few casts out to see if the Spanish mackerel are out there, maybe some pompano. Mm-hmm. Switch to some jigs for some flounder activity.
Yep. And then some whiting, an oddball bonefish.
It's really weird, bonefish.
Yeah. I mean, it's random, but
yeah,
you know, it's not anything you can really seriously target, but
I mean, the whiting aren't that thick either, and none of the fish are that thick along the shore, but it is catchable.
Right, exactly. You know, and then at nighttime has been some really, really good fish.
What you looking up? Okay, he's looking on something. Oh, man, who is that?
Morris sending some pictures just to tease us.
Morris Campbell, bonefish, big. I tried calling to get my passport. They wouldn't let me, you know.
Sailfish.
Again, I talk about government's things. I can get a passport right away if I book a plane ticket. But if I don't get my passport right away, I can't get my money back on a plane ticket.
Jeez. Yeah, just something to rub it in.
You have a passport. Salt. You should go.
Yeah. Too late.
Yeah, I know. So I gotta get my passport so we can go. Morris is over in the Bahamas. Yeah. He's having an amazing trip.
Yeah.
What a life that guy has. I wish I was that organized.
Yeah.
I mean, but you gotta be that organized. You gotta be one of those amazing, have one of those, you know, type A personalities where you can, you know, captain an 84-foot boat and keep everything perfect.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, but that's Morris.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, we were walking the beaches.
Now,
shrimp is going to work okay. There's a lot of bait right along the beaches. Take a 6-foot or an 8-foot cast net with you. Remember, only keep a little bit of what you catch because mm-hmm. they're not going to live long in a bucket, even with an aerator.
Right.
If you're going to catch bait fish along the shore, the secret to keeping them alive is you catch them in a net. Cast net. You're going to throw your cast net out there and you're going to catch them. Then you're going to dump them in a bucket and you're going to scare the poop out of them. I mean, you've just alien abducted these fish. I mean, they're swimming along and all of a sudden, boom, they get hit with the cast net and they're all flopping around and you dump them out and you put them in a bucket. Literally, you're scaring the poop out of these fish.
Right.
So, you leave them in the bucket for 5 minutes or so, empty the water out, put fresh water in, and you got to do that 2-3 times for the first 20 minutes you have them in there. And by then, they've pretty much excreted everything they're going to excrete, and they will live pretty good in the bucket. But if you just put them in there, they're trying to swim and breathe and everything in their own excrement.
Right.
And if you're wondering about it, just think, if you were walking along the street and all of a sudden I grabbed you up, you know, I came along in a helicopter, threw a cast net on you, picked you up, threw you on the deck of the helicopter and threw you in a tank.
Or a box,
yeah. And I bet you there'd be some excrement coming out, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but they never show that in movies, so that doesn't happen.
Yeah, but I can tell you, so if a spaceship came along and netted me up and, you know, threw me on the floor and then tossed me in a box, there'd probably be excrement coming out. Poo would come out.
Yeah, you know, without a doubt.
Yeah, poo would come out. Yeah, there's no doubt. So. Yeah. Anyway, I think we're going to call this part one. We're going to get to more morning.
On poo.
Yeah, well, you know, kind of that sums up the rest of this show.
That's good stuff.
Talk about excrement poo. Yeah, that sums up radio fishing. Okay.
Tomorrow we'll start off with the Gulf.
Yeah, we're going to start off with the Gulf. We're going to be back tomorrow morning, and we'll get to Gulf of Mexico. But we've got to get our stuff together. We got to go to Luigi's. We got the fishing meetings tonight. And keep in mind, there's no charge for the meetings. We sit family style at tables. It's a very relaxed, casual atmosphere. You guys are welcome to attend. If you want to call and reserve seats, Tuesday night's reserve seating. Wednesday night's is open seating. You can come tonight if you want. We haven't turned anybody away. And about 2 months ago, we had a night where we had to turn some people away. But other than that, we've been, you know, down to one or two chairs, but we've managed to get everybody in.
Yeah.
And this is a neat talk tonight. We're building rigs. We're going to show you different rigs you can make yourself for mackerel, different trolling techniques. You're going to learn a lot about them. And the more you know about what you're trying to catch, the more you understand it, the easier it is to figure out where it's going to be and why it's here and when it's going to be here and what you should use to catch it. It's the more information you have when you're making this a decision, the better off you're going to be.
Yes.
And anything you want to add to that?
Nope. I think it's good stuff.
Okay. That's fine.
Up this morning before the sun, grab my gear.
Part one, radio fishing.
Jump in my pickup, give her a crank. I gotta talk with Fishin' Frank. Fishin' Frank is the guy who knows where the redfish and the tarpon go. From your boat or from the bank, the man to see is Fishin' Frank.
I miss her.
Cause he's got amazing the tackle and the know-how.
They both are.
And more than willing to share with you. The guys with the most fish in their tanks have surely been to Fishin' Franks.
When a woman come in and
you gotta go
her husband
to
passed away,
Franks.
And she sold all her fishing gear about a year ago, and now she met a new guy, and they're dating, and he loves to fish, and she was in buying a fishing pole. I keep trying to tell people, don't sell your fishing stuff. You don't have to walk it. You don't have to feed it. You don't have to clean up poo.
Right.
You know, there's no poo to clean up. It will sit in the corner and wait for you to come back and get ready.
Right.
So
absolutely.
With that tidbit of knowledge, this is end of part one area fishing report. Robert in the chair across from me, and this is Fishin' Frank. And thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more radio fishing.